Welcome to the Galesburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. We appreciate you to be here with us tonight and this afternoon for this 26th annual ceremony. My name is Brad Benowitz. I'll be your master of ceremonies, and thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. Today we've gathered to honor 8 inductees and 6 teams. Each year a committee meets and sifts through a number of nominations. Some of these nominations come in the veterans category to honor those who graduated 40 or more years ago. The rest come from athletes who have been out of school for at least 5 years. A friend of GHS Athletics is also selected when the committee comes to a consensus on the honor. Also, teams come to be inducted. This year, the committee decided to induct all teams not yet inducted that have won state tournament trophies. We'd like to take a moment to recognize the members of our 2014 and 15 selection committee. And if those who are members of the committee, if you could please stand as we call out your name. Our committee members this year were Jerry Albright, Steve Hawkins, who is to my left over here, Arnie Gonzalez, did I see Arnie earlier? Bob Morgan, Kelly Kane, Alan Pickrell. Our Galesburg High School principal, Roy Van Meter, is a member of our committee on stage here. Ray Pickrell. Where did I see him? There's Ray, right back there. Rick Welty is a member of the committee. Also, Dave Wood. Saw Dave come in. There's Dave over there. Pete Theory. You can always find Pete here somewhere at the back there. Dick Lindstrom. Craig Johnson, also Jeff Holt, and Athletic Director Ralph Henning. Thank you all for the committee for their support and their work. I'd like to get started now, and we'll go ahead and call out Mr. Henning, our Athletic Director here at Galesburg High School, who will present the inductees in the veterans category. Mr. Henning.
Thank you, Mr. Benowitz, and it is a pleasure to be here today and to honor these folks who did and brought a lot of recognition to our high school. I have the distinctive privilege to talk about the veterans. These people obviously preceded us by quite a bit, and two of our veterans have deceased, but we certainly want their memory to be alive, and we want their to be enshrined in our Hall of Fame. Our first inductee is actually not going to be presented tonight. We're going to do that formally next year. Their family could not attend, so we are going to be talking about Jack Whitman this next year. Our next member is the class of 58, and that is Dwayne White. Dwayne is was quite a football player here. There's no question about that. He was a first-team All-Stater, an end, caught the football when Galesburg did decide to pass it. The thing about this gentleman is he had unprecedented success in football. And I mean, this is real success, folks. He was on 2 varsity teams, combined record of 16-1. Now, I'd like to, at this time, bring a teammate of his on stage, Mr. Ted Brewington. Well, Ted comes up to the podium. Just wanted to say, I looked at this over, folks. That was some good football back then, and they were very, very good. And, of course, we were mythical state champions in one of those years. Mr. Brewington, would you take the mic, please, and tell us a little bit about your teammate, Dwayne White.
Thank you, Ralph. Dwayne played on 2 great teams, as Ralph alluded to, and I was out here in the hall just a few minutes ago, and one of those teammates came up that I had the privilege of playing with, and I'm sure all of you will recognize Albert Kimbrell. Al, come on up. This is one half of A&E. I'm just going to say a couple words about Dwayne, and then Nate is going to speak to him about him as far as his playing ability and playing with the 56-57 team. He was a great, great teammate. And when the characters of this group left in our senior year, we needed somebody to be the enforcer. And Bobby Anderson, Tommy Milan, Albert, nobody messed with anybody. But we had one left over, and that was Dwayne. Dwayne was our enforcer. Every ball club needs an enforcer. I don't mean dirty, but I mean somebody that the other teams are going to say, hey, we've got to spend some time trying to figure out where this guy's going to be. And he was a very, very good blocker. And then, of course, after he blocked his junior year, we didn't pass much our junior year. So in the senior year, he talked to Coach C.C. Van Dyke, and he says, hey, we need some tight end passes. And every time he was always lobbying, we always scripted three plays. I don't know whether you folks knew that or not, but way back then, we ran three plays in the quick huddle, as fast as we could get the ball. And I think probably in those 2 years, I think Van said 75% we scored in one of those three plays right off the bat. So Van was ahead of his time as far as scripting those plays and the in and out of the huddle. But anyway, Dwayne was always lobbying for a pass down the middle. He said, but he was a great blocker, great defensive player. But a lot of you don't probably know that he was
if you missed the McRib, player. Like the Mohawk.
He was a great pole vaulter in track, lettered in track. He was a great basketball player. We were playing in Steel Gym, of course, at that time, and they had the open bleachers down at one end. And Coach Steele, he'd tell Dwayne, he says, now, you're going to have the toughest assignment, and I want you to keep him off the boards. Well, sure enough, in the first period of play, the best ball player on the other team would wind up in those bleachers down there on the blocking out, trying to get a rebound. And there's Dwayne. Dwayne would be sitting over on the bench with Theo, though, by the second quarter with four fouls. And usually wound up didn't get to play until maybe the fourth quarter. And Dwayne could shoot the ball. A three-point shot, we'd have had it then. I don't think John had ever got him to rebound. He'd have been out there in that three-point shot. He loved to shoot. But one track story that I got to relay to you. We're at a doubleheader baseball game, and it's over at Sunnyland Park over in Monmouth. We're sitting under the shade tree. It's just between games. And here comes Dwayne over. They'd been over out on the track, which is right next door. They'd been on the track, and Dwayne comes over, and he's looking around. And I'm sitting, and Doug and I are sitting there, Doug Mills. And I said, uh-oh, Dwayne's looking for somebody. Doug says, well, it's not me. So I said, well, he's got something in mind. So he comes over and he says, hey, Coach Van Dyke needs somebody to run the 400. His top runner had gotten hurt, and he lobbied for Dwayne. So Dwayne had been pole vaulting, and Dwayne says, I'll run it if I can go get somebody else to run the 400 with me. So Van says, okay. Well, Van says, you clear it with Chuck Bednar, our baseball coach. And so Whitey cleared it. It says, come on, Ted, you're running. And I said, no. He comes up and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he says, It's just like running wind sprints in football, 100 yards, then you get rest a little bit, and you run another 100 yards, and then a rest again, another 100, rest again, another 100, and it's all over. And I thought a minute, and I said, all right. He says, I'll pace you. He says, we'll run it together. So I'm in my cleats, baseball cleats, and it's cinder track, and so we go over and we start. And Dwayne's off like a rabbit. He says, you follow me, and so I took out after him. I get to the end of the first curve, and I'm like, oh, my. And Dwayne's now 50 feet ahead of me. He's waving at me, come on. Well, needless to say, I struggled across the finish line, and I finished last. Dwayne comes over to me, and he says, I forgot to tell you, you have to run the curves in the 400. But you know how they run it today, it's a full-out sprint. Well, that was the end of my 400, and I never got that. Dwayne never let me forget that. But Dwayne was a great, great friend. He loved to hunt. He'd come out to our farm and hunt. He'd bale hay. That was our weightlifting. We had a crew of football players, and we lifted weights by lifting wire bales that weighed 80 pounds plus. And we'd throw those around all summer long. And Dwayne would come out and help us. And we had some great times. And what a great guy. He loved a snowmobile. That was just really getting started at that time. And I know he was telling me about his snowmobile exploits. But I miss him dearly. And I certainly wish he was here. And we had some member of his family. We don't have any member of the family here. Is there anybody? We tried to get a hold of as many as we knew. But A's got something he wants to say about him, too. Albert.
Thank you, Ted. I just want to make a few brief comments about Dwayne. Dwayne was a consummate team player. He sacrificed a lot of individual skills that he had when he was junior. And for the sake of the team, and we finished undefeated football season. However, the last game of the season, he did say that I sacrificed a lot for this team this year, but next year is my year to shine. And shine he did. Thank you.
Accepting the plaque for Dwayne is Mr. Albert Kimbrough.
Thank you very much. What a neat guy, no question about it. And that's a lot of our athletes can learn from that. It's a great sport, but sometimes you have to be selfless, and being selfless can get you into the Hall of Fame just as well as being a great star. Next person I want to talk about is here today. And this gentleman, when I had a chance to read about him. I did not grow up in Galesburg, but I had heard about Galesburg's basketball and their exploits. There were, not many people get to go to the big dance. Not many people get to bring home trophies. This gentleman was on two state runner-up teams and was a cog, a player on both teams. One of them, he was a sophomore. The other, I believe he was a senior. And this is Roland McDougald, Jr. He was a quick guard. I was reading articles about it in the Register Mail, and very worthy. He came into his own, fit into his roles, did a wonderful job. He's also athletic. He was a state qualifier in the long jump. He was conference champion as well. And he went on to play basketball at the University of Illinois. One neat thing that happened for him was when he went into the Army, he got a chance to play on the U.S. Army championship team for Fort Sill. And anytime, even if it's just the Army,
It's still a championship and a U.S. championship. Congratulations on that, sir. He went on and worked for TRW Communication Systems and currently is at Fletcher and McDougall Funeral Home. Mr. Roland McDougall, Jr. I would have brought him up here, but he's not a big man of words, but Dave Wood, one of your teammates, Dave really loves this guy, and he said he was a great person to play with.
I'd like to move on to the four new current members of the GHS Athletic Hall of Fame. I would like to bring Mr. Henning back up, and he will present our first new inductee, Rob Long.
Rob Long, the class of 1980. Rob was the consummate scholar-athlete. This guy was in three sports, maintained an A average, went off to college, continued to be an outstanding scholar. In fact, at Monmouth College, made All-American academic as a quarterback. Rob was that was his pride. He took pride in things. And when you have a person who's intelligent and a hard worker, you're a leader. And he played on some great teams, played on some good football teams. Played on some good basketball teams. I was talking to his coach, Barry Swanson, and he had a chance to play on one of those teams that won what would be eventually called the State Farm Classic, but the Illinois State Classic. Rob was also a fine baseball player, all-conference baseball center fielder in 1980. His career at Monmouth College, he lettered in three sports. It's hard enough to letter in three sports in high school, but three sports in college, that's quite a trip. He was a finalist for the Rhodes Scholar for the state of Illinois, colleges as well. Currently, he's an ordained minister for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he currently works and lives in St. Louis, Missouri. Rob Long, could you please come forward? Looks like you can still play.
And I'd like to invite Steve Cheeseman up to make the next two presentations. Steve is a former Galesburg athlete himself, has been involved in coaching many sports here in our community, golf, currently basketball still, and has a long career in coaching baseball. And baseball is the next direction we are headed with our next two inductees, Coach Steve Cheeseman, to make the presentation.
First of all, before I begin with our next two athletes, I'd like to congratulate all of the inductees today. Growing up here in Galesburg, getting a chance to be a Silver Streak, and then now having the opportunity to have coached for 37 years a variety of sports here, I feel a great part of this, and I know all of you do, and it's a special thing to be a Silver Streak, and it still is to this day, and you are certainly all examples of that. So congratulations to all of you. As you were talking about Dwayne White, Dwayne worked for my dad for many, many years. They played golf a lot, and I remember Dwayne as a kid being nothing but a fun-loving person. Always a smile on his face, always a practical joke, a great guy, and all those things you said about him being a great teammate, it went on and permeated his life the rest of his life. There's nothing more humbling as a coach to be able to stand up here and be a part of a ceremony that is all about the accomplishments of one of the athletes that you coached. The older I get and the longer I do this, that's the best stuff. The players that you've coached, the things that you allowed or that they allowed you to see about them, their hard work, their sacrifice, their dedication, the cooperation they put in, that's the stuff that makes all of this such a worthy activity and one that all of us as athletes take with us the rest of our lives, and it helps us live our lives better. The first young man that I want to talk about, Jeremy Pickrell. I first knew Jeremy on a personal level when he was in junior high school. I knew him before that. He comes from a great athletic family. Lots of folks from that family have been outstanding in our community and outstanding athletes. He was, as he would tell you, he was a skinny kid, a long kid. He was going to be a tall kid. He was still growing into his body. But one thing for sure about Pick was this was a kid that had a burning desire to be good. And you give anyone in anything in life somebody that wants to achieve and is willing to work at it, you've got a chance. And you put those two things together with what are marvelous athletic skills, and you're going to get somebody that really accomplishes a great deal in the athletic endeavors that he went into. And it was fun to watch him grow into his body, continue to have that zest for being successful and being good, and take that and become what he became. When we talk about baseball, you rarely ever will find what we call a five-tool player. Somebody can throw, somebody that can field, somebody that can run, somebody that can hit for power, and someone that can hit for average. Jeremy Pickrell was that in a big-time way. To the point where certainly I think that he had a chance to be a Major League Baseball player. And baseball is about as hard as it gets to becoming a major leaguer. And a lot of things got to go right for you for that to occur. And those just didn't happen for whatever reason. But that doesn't take anything away from a marvelous junior high school, collegiate, and professional career that he had. And to this day, if you watch him as he comes up here, you will see somebody with these kinds of athletic skills that could have been anything that he wanted to. He was a great basketball player, a great soccer player, and obviously a great baseball player. And I believe that he still should be playing and at the highest level in Major League Baseball. When he came and coached with us in American Legion Baseball, and this is the thing that I think we'd really like to leave here, I'd like you to leave here with about Jeremy today, is that you watch him grow as an athlete, but grow as a person. He is a wonderful father. He is a wonderful husband. He's a fine coach and teacher, a mentor of young people. Our players loved him. They had the greatest respect for him. He communicated with them well. He's doing the same now at Abingdon. And those are the kinds of things that as young men and young ladies grow up that just make you feel good all over. And Jeremy is the perfect example of that. My son plays at Western as a baseball player, and a number of his coaches are coaches that had connections with, or in some cases, coached Jeremy at Illinois State. And they, to this day, rave about, obviously, his baseball accomplishments and ability, but what a fine guy he was. And you could see the genuineness in their comments. I won't go over and highlight all of those things. You can see those in your program. But as I say, a tremendous soccer player, basketball player, baseball player, played collegiately at Illinois State University, a 10th round draft pick of the Minnesota Twins, a number of years in their organization, and then independent league baseball, and now a fine, fine coach and teacher. Without further ado, I'd like to congratulate in a big way baseball, basketball, and soccer player class of 2001, Jeremy Pickrell. I told you he could play about any sport, and when you watch him come up here, the Bears could use somebody like Jeremy Pickrell. The next inductee is another one of these guys that I can't say enough good things about and how fortunate I feel to have been associated with him. Everything good that you want again in an athletic situation, you can say about this young man. I first got to know Kyle when he was a freshman in high school. They moved here from the West Coast. I knew his father from playing college baseball with Les, and I knew his mom from being a classmate here at Galesburg High School. And as you got to know Kyle, you certainly saw the influence that those two people had on him. A great young man, a hard worker, wanting to achieve, humble, got along with people, was a tremendous teammate and a leader. Everything that you'd want again out of an athlete and out of a human being. The one thing that stands out about Kyle in terms of his baseball ability, and he's as good a baseball player as we've ever had here at Galesburg High School. I know Jim Sundberg was a Major League Baseball player, and obviously to be able to get to where Jim Sundberg is, that remains to be seen. I believe Kyle will get there. But Kyle is certainly one of the best baseball players of all time here, and certainly, without question, one of the greatest pitchers here. Again, something stands out specifically about Kyle is that Kyle was on a mission. You could see that. He had the goal, I think, to be as good a baseball player as he possibly could be, and he was going to do whatever it took to get there. Again, he was blessed with great athletic skills, again, the ability to problem solve and think and work hard and take coaching, and all those things that go in with part and parcel to be a good athlete. But he was on a mission. He got great coaching. He had fine coaching here at Galesburg High School. He had fine coaching at the collegiate level. He had fine coaching from his father, who just has as much knowledge about pitching and the ability to coach pitchers as anybody around. So as Kyle grew into his body, had that great athletic ability, he became very, very, very polished. And again, as you talk to college coaches, you talk to pro scouts, their very first observation was, this kid is way ahead of the curve. He knows how to pitch. His mechanics are outstanding. You know, he looks right now the part in a big way. And as he's continued to mature and learn on his own, he's knocking at the door to be a Major League Baseball player and to accomplish the highest honor or level or achievement that you can get as an athlete, and that's be a professional in that sport and get to the major leagues of that. That's monumental. And I believe Kyle will be there soon. We'll start being able to watch him on TV, certainly read about him and keep track of him because he's going to be a big league pitcher soon. And the other thing that I would say about him off the field with Kyle, he's a great role model. He comes back here. He works with a number of our pitchers here at Galesburg High School and in our American Legion baseball program, and these guys are all ears. He's very good with them. He doesn't talk down to them. He shows them lots of things, and those guys rave about all the things that they learn from Kyle, and most of them can't wait to get with him in the off season. So I would at this time like you to recognize him. Kyle was also a fine, fine quarterback, and they missed the boat here of not throwing the ball when he was here because with that kind of arm and that kind of leadership ability, he certainly could have been an all-state quarterback and a fine college football player if he wanted to. And he's a pretty doggone good basketball player. And to boot, one of the best hitters we've ever had on our American Legion baseball team. So without further ado, I'd like you to all congratulate, and we'd like a welcome to the Galesburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame, 2008 graduate Kyle Hunter. Kyle.
For our next presentation, I'd like to invite to the stage Galesburg High School former cross-country coach Craig Hillier. Craig and his family have a long history with running and coaching running in our community. and one of his teams will be recognized here today, but we're inviting Craig up to tell us about our next induction to the Hall of Fame, and that is Greg Whittle. Craig.
Wanted to present this today, getting Greg Whittle into the Hall of Fame this year. Looking at what Steve said, I think that is what drives a lot of athletes. The thing I remember most about Greg and his running career here was that he was coachable. He listened. Steve talked about drive. I saw that very much so in his senior year in both track and cross country here at Galesburg High School. I remember Greg when I first saw him was in junior high. I've actually coached Greg for many years and known him for many years when he started cross country with Galesburg cross country at Lombard and Churchill. They were mixed together. And he was a pretty good athlete then that, you know, wanted to do well. In high school, Greg was a person that gave his all every day, was at every practice, ran in the off season. He was a three-sport athlete also. Many of you may know he was also a swimmer besides track and cross country. The thing that I think changed for him was I just remember a conversation I had with Greg his junior year, actually. His junior year was the last meet, the sectional meet before the state finals, and he had to qualify in order to make it to state that year. His best chance to qualify that year was in the 2 mile. He just missed it. And he had the 1,600-meter run left to run that day. And that's the day I think everything kind of clicked for him. He said, Coach, I know I'm not going to win, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to lead this first lap. I'm going to beat this guy who has beat me all year long. I'm going out and run the fastest first lap I can in a 1,600 in a mile. So he goes out and does that. He goes out in like 60, 62 seconds for a 1600 and then just completely dies, basically. I'm like, kind of, we laughed about it and chuckled about it. And I think that was the thing that kind of changed it for him. It was that he found finally what he wanted to do. And I remember, after having an outstanding cross-country season that year in which we brought home a third-place trophy and Greg led that team. In the winter, he was in swimming, and he came out for his first indoor meet at Illinois State University. We go to an indoor meet there every year. And Greg went out, and he ran pretty well his first time out. I still remember that time from that indoor meet in which he ran 4:37 for the mile indoors. But he made a statement to me at that meet that basically he was going to go out and win state that year. And he held true to that statement all throughout the season. There was a running family who from the Quad Cities from Alleman that he frequently was in competition with. And he wanted to beat that guy, and that's what he started with. He then went on to have a successful career and finish out at Galesburg High School. And then when he went on to Calvin, he is probably the gutsiest runner I have ever coached. And it's a blessing to have an athlete like that who has that much drive, much like Greg did. When I was kind of reflecting on things, I'm like, thinking about all the things that Greg has accomplished in his short lifetime already, I was just like, this is amazing. Amazing what he's accomplished. It took me a whole page to list it. While he was at Galesburg High School, he was Western Big Six All-Conference Cross Country. He was a 2008 MVP award winner for Galesburg Cross Country. He was a 2008 Class 2A All-State Cross Country medalist. He also led his team to a third-place state trophy in cross country that year. He was the 2009 Class 2A state champion in the 3200 relay. He was the 2A state champion in 2009 in the 1600 meter run. He also led his team at the state track meet that year to a fourth place finish in the state finals, just missing another state trophy by 2 points that year. He is still our school record holder in the 1600 meter run at 4:20.53. He was the 2009 Western Big Six Don Morris Award winner. He graduated GHS fourth in this class with above a 4.0. And he was an honorable mention IHSA Academic All-State team member. The thing that probably got me most excited about Greg is what he accomplished. I felt that, you know, hopefully I opened some doors for him to do some great things, and he went on and did that at Calvin. He was a 2011 national qualifier for the Division III Cross Country National Championships. He was a 2011 All-American in the mile run at the Division III Indoor National Championships. In the same event, outdoors, he was an All-American that year. In 2012, he helped Calvin College to a second-place trophy at the Division III Cross Country Nationals. And he also qualified indoor and outdoor for Nationals that year as well. And lastly, in 2013, he was an All-American in the 1500-meter run at the Division III Outdoor National Championships. He currently works as a civil engineer at the Henry County Highway Department, and most importantly, here very soon when the snow starts flying more, he will be getting married in January to his beautiful fiancée, Megan. Who I had the pleasure of meeting the first time today. Good choice, Greg. But without further ado, I'd like to have Greg Whittle come up here and accept his nomination into the Athletic Hall of Fame here at Galesburg High School.
Each year, the Hall of Fame Induction Committee works to recognize someone special that's involved in athletics, not necessarily on the field, but in some other way. We call that the friend of GHS athletics. I'm especially proud today that our induction ceremonies are being carried on WGIL because that is especially meaningful for our next inductee. I'd like to bring to the stage Mr. Jim Wyman, who will introduce our friend of GHS athletics for this year, Mr. Roger Coleman.
Thank you, Brad. It is an honor for me to represent the former employees of WGIL Radio who worked for Roger Coleman between 1954 and 1976. and to induct Roger Coleman into the Galesburg High School Hall of Fame as a friend of GHS Athletics. This is a happy day for all of us who worked for Roger when he was general manager of WGIL. Roger Coleman is all Galesburg all the time. He was born at St. Mary's Hospital in Galesburg on November 27, 1930. His father, Haven Coleman, was a coach and athletic director. Haven Coleman was the first basketball coach at Corpus Christi High School. He also was an athletic director at Western Illinois University and at Heading College in Abingdon until he became sick with encephalitis and became an invalid. Haven Coleman, Roger's dad, died in 1939. Roger loved two things in life, sports and radio. Although not a gifted athlete, he did run track for GHS and spent a lot of time watching the great football and basketball teams of C.C. Van Dyke and Gerald Phillips. Seven-year-old Roger and his mom were present on that hot, muggy day on June 12, 1938, when WGIL Radio first signed on the air at a packed ceremony at the Galesburg Armory, hosted by Pierre Andre of WGN Radio in Chicago. If you look at the short bio under Roger's photograph in the 1948 Reflector, the Galesburg High School yearbook, the caption says, "Seller of ads for the budget, GHS's student newspaper." This was a precursor of what was to come for Roger in the future. Roger Coleman graduated from Galesburg High School in 1948, and he went on first to Knox College for 2 years and then to the broadcasting program at the University of Iowa. He graduated from Iowa in 1952 after working many hours at the campus radio station. Radio was in Roger Coleman's blood. When Roger got out of the Army in 1954, he worked for a short time for a radio station in Peoria and then was hired as the morning man at WGIL in Galesburg, his hometown radio station. WGIL had broadcast every Galesburg Silver Streaks football and basketball game since the radio station signed on the air in 1938. Roger joined a long list of sports announcers famous in Galesburg broadcasting history: Howard Miller, Tom Hamlin, Murray Hurt, Bob Dixon, Kenny Schleifer, Jim Dunleavy, Bob Mann, and Dale Atkins. Roger did the morning show and filled in on games when WGIL was between sports directors. Then Roger began selling advertising for WGIL, and he was just as good at selling WGIL ads as he had been at selling ads for the budget. Roger knew everyone in town. His stepfather was a car dealer in Galesburg, so everyone knew Roger's family. Because Roger was such a great radio ad salesman, WGIL owner Bill Pritchard, the current mayor's father, appointed Roger as WGIL's general manager. Bill Pritchard's death left Roger on his own to run the radio station. Roger Coleman was only 29 years old when he took over as WGIL general manager in 1960. Roger wanted to stabilize the radio station's Silver Streak broadcast, and he needed a good play-by-play man who could stick around and who knew Galesburg. Roger had heard of the play-by-play talents of Bill Pearson, who graduated from GHS in 1956. But Pearson was in the Army and wasn't scheduled to get out until the next year. WGIL had lost its sports director, and it was December, one of the busiest times in the high school basketball season. Roger contacted U.S. Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen and convinced Senator Dirksen to let Bill Pearson out of the Army early on a hardship deferment since Bill's wife was pregnant. Immediately, WGIL's broadcasts of Silver Streak games became something special, with Bill Pearson handling the play-by-play. Meanwhile, John Thiel had coached the Silver Streaks downstate in 1956, losing to eventual state champion Rockford West 66-64 in double overtime. Thiel's basketball teams had also gone downstate in 57, 59, 60, and 63. Roger could see how popular Silver Streaks basketball had become in Galesburg, and he recognized that Coach John Thiel's personality was made for radio. Roger set out to make GHS basketball even more popular. Roger actually hired John Thiel as a part-time employee of WGIL. The radio station had exclusive rights to interview Thiel. WGIL's competitor, WAIK, didn't even think about broadcasting Silver Streak games because Roger had Coach Thiel all locked up. Thiel did a Wednesday night radio show called Sportsline, where he would talk about the upcoming game, play jazz records, and pontificate on life in Galesburg and life in general. The listeners loved it. Roger wanted more. He arranged for Coach Thiel to do a post-game show at Harbor Lights Supper Club, where area coaches could stop by and chat on the air with John, and other coaches could call in and talk to him. Coach Thiel's post-game show at Harbor Lights had no end time. It just went on and on until John Thiel decided to end it. During the 1972 season, I can remember getting off the air at midnight on FM 95 and going over to the WGIL AM studio and listening to Coach Thiel's show till 2 in the morning. It was some of the most innovative radio I've ever heard. Another idea Roger had was to take WGIL's show on the road. When Dale Kelly played for Northwestern and Zach Thiel, Coach Thiel's son, played for SMU, Roger would pack up the broadcast equipment. He and Bill Pearson and their entourage would go to Evanston or to Dallas, Texas, and broadcast the games back to Galesburg. Just think how easy it is now to get a game on satellite radio or TV. In 1967, it was impossible. There just weren't any other radio stations in the country doing things like this in the 1960s. And Silver Streak basketball became a social event in Galesburg. All the most important people in town went to the sold-out games and then out to dinner afterwards. Roger had married Marilyn Nelson, who had graduated from GHS in 1949 and had been a GHS cheerleader. Marilyn was and still is the consummate entertainer, and the parties she hosted were always a hit, whether it was the famous, or should I say infamous, WGIL Christmas party, or entertaining friends after a Silver Streak game in the beautiful Coleman home at Tsongataha. Marilyn Coleman was a big part of Roger's success as manager of WGIL, and she deserves more than a passing mention today. By the time the Silver Streaks finished second in the state in basketball in 1966 and 1968, everything was in place at WGIL. The station ran advertisements where businesses could wish the Silver Streaks good luck as they headed downstate. Roger oversaw the production of vinyl records featuring highlights of Bill Pearson's calls of the games. The records sold like hotcakes. When the Streaks returned from Champaign, the fans were lined up 10 deep on Main Street, watching the welcome home parade. I get chills up my back just thinking about it, and I wasn't even there. In October of 1968, WGIL had gone through numerous color analysts who assisted Bill Pearson's play-by-play. Roger wanted someone who was from Galesburg and would stick around, and he wanted a former Silver Streak player. Roger went to John Thiel and asked him about hiring either Odie Cowan or Jimmy Carr, who had both starred on the 1959 team that had been ranked number one all year and had finished third in the state. Coach Thiel recommended Jimmy Carr. Roger not only hired Jimmy Carr as a sports announcer, he also hired him full-time as an advertising salesman at WGIL. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, Jimmy Carr is African-American. I often think how brave Roger was to hire Jimmy, but more important, how brave Jimmy was to make cold advertising calls on clients who weren't, how should I phrase it, very tolerant. Roger was simply following in John Thiel's footsteps. Coach Thiel never had a problem putting four or even five black players on the floor in the 1950s or early 60s when that simply wasn't done. And Roger had no problem hiring Jimmy Carr and then taking him out to Tsongataha to play golf, even though some of Roger's friends disapproved. The pairing of Jimmy Carr and Bill Pearson on the radio was magic. Bill is the best play-by-play man I've ever heard. He rivaled Jim Durham or Lloyd Pettit with his play-by-play. And Jimmy Carr's analysis was as good as Johnny Miller, Chris Collingsworth, or Eddie Olczyk. Bill left WGIL in the fall of 1971, but Jimmy remains in Galesburg as an analyst on all the WAIK boys and girls basketball games. I listened to him this morning, and he's just as good as he was over 40 years ago. I've worked in radio since September of 1969 when I was a college student at Western, and I've never worked for a person as knowledgeable and innovative as Roger Coleman. His work as general manager of WGIL and WAAG in the 1960s and 70s helped put GHS athletics on the map. I was at a Cubs game last summer, standing across the street from Wrigley Field at Murphy's, having a beer after the game. I was wearing a Galesburg t-shirt, and the bartender looked at me and smiled and said, "Dale Kelly." Yes, indeed. Dale Kelly, Mike Owens, Reuben Triplett, Bumpy Nixon, Mike Campbell. The Silver Streaks of Galesburg High School made famous by Roger Coleman, the manager of one of the finest small-town radio stations in America, WGIL. As Roger used to say when giving a station ID at the top of the hour, "You're listening to the voice and choice of Western Illinois, WGIL Galesburg." Congratulations, Roger, and welcome to the GHS Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Jim, and congratulations again to all the individuals we've brought up here today. As we mentioned, annually, the Hall of Fame Committee recognizes one Silver Streak team each year for induction, but as we told you earlier, the committee wanted to make an exception this year and bring all those teams into the Hall of Fame that had not yet been inducted that were part of state tournament trophies. So we'd like to recognize those teams now. The first team is the 1912 basketball team. This group brought home Galesburg High School's first state trophy. They posted a 14-5 record and took second place in the state tournament. This success was followed up in 1913 with GHS's first and only state basketball title. We recognize today the 1912 basketball team. In 1931, the basketball team earned the school's second runner-up state trophy. The Silver Streaks, coached by Hall of Famer Gerald Phillips, posted a 25-4 record and marched through the district and sectional tournaments before beating Peoria Manual to reach the semifinal. They edged Johnston City 28-27 to reach the championship game, and in that title matchup with Decatur, the Silver Streaks fell short 30-26, but claimed the second-place state trophy. Today, we recognize the 1931 basketball team. Golf has brought home the most state championships for Galesburg High School in its history. In 1971, the Silver Streaks earned a third-place trophy. Coached by Roger Sofer, the Streaks battled tough, challenged for the title. Joe Dietz, John Weaver, Bill Kirkendall, Sam Swanson, and Dave Woodward took the course for the state finals. Other members of that team included Don Phipps, Tim Toll, Mike Chevelle, Jeff Coleman, Gilbert Douglas, Rusty Cunningham, Doug Allensworth, Neil Shearer, and Mike Hare. In 1972, the Streaks won the state title. Swanson, Woodward, and Toll played on the state team. If we have any members of the state golf team from the year that we are bringing them into the Hall of Fame, we'd like to invite you to come up on the stage. Do we have anyone here today? Wonderful. Galesburg High School enjoyed a great run of success in girls basketball and continues to do so. In the 2 years we are honoring today, the Silver Streaks brought home the fourth place trophy. The 1999-2000 team put together a very impressive 34-4 record and earned a Western Big Six Conference title. Evan Massey guided the Streaks and was assisted by Steve Peachy, Mike Rux, Jay Barshinger, and Kerry Gibbs Gehring. We'd like to invite any members of the team in attendance to come to the stage at this time, including the coaching staff. Those members were Tracy Larson, Stacy Betcher, Shannon Williams, Michelle Flair, Rachel Bisego, Jackie Howard, Mary Lindstrom, Annie Parkin, Megan Pacheco, Amanda Gunther, Ashley Shepherd, Beth Stuff, Sarah Pacheco, Whitney Snyder, Michelle Mundy, Chanel Jackson, Kimmy Peck, Manager Pam Bess, and Manager Morgan McCune. The 1999-2000 Galesburg High School girls basketball team, fourth place state tournament team. Thank you very much, and congratulations to all of you. Some of them are going to stay up here because we are also honoring the 2000 and 2001 team that fought its way to the state tournament and another fourth place trophy with a 31-8 record. Once again, they were guided by Coach Massey and his assistants Steve Peachy, Mike Rux, Jay Barshinger, and Kerry Gibbs Gehring. Any members of the team not already up here, if you would please come forward. That team included Chanel Jackson, Amanda Gunther, Elizabeth Hausline, Annie Parkin, Shannon Williams, Rachel Bisego, Melissa Pacheco, Jenna Bisego, Tracy Larson, Sarah Pacheco, Ashley Shepherd, Brittany Steffen, Allison Bachman, Casey Berry, Manager Morgan McCune, Manager Nikki Berry, Manager Risa Hellenthal, and Manager Aaron Line, the 2000 and 2001 girls state basketball fourth place state tournament team.
The girls would not want to come back and not have a chance to hear me talk, so I just want to say something quick of the seniors that were graduating in 2001 that were part of this, the seniors that were part of this in 2000, and then the class before 1999, to put in perspective what those classes did. Many of them played as freshmen and as sophomores. But in their 4 years of high school, they never lost a regional game. They never lost a sectional game. They never lost a super sectional game. For them, they were never on a team in their high school career that wasn't ranked in the top 10 in Illinois. And every single one of them, their last high school game was always played at Redbird Arena. And except for 1 year when they were sophomores, is the only time that they didn't get to ride a fire truck down Main Street, Galesburg, when they came back. But otherwise, they did that. So a tremendous, not just the 2 years that they had, but just unbelievable careers, and they've gone on to be unbelievable individuals in their now since their basketball careers are over. Thank you.
Finally, after a bit of a drought for Silver Streak teams, the 2008 boys cross country team brought home a state trophy. The Streaks took third place, as you heard earlier, at the IHSA state meet. Greg Whittle paced the team's solid effort. Coach Craig Hillier directed the team and received assistance from girls coach Jody Chapman. We would like to invite members of that 2008 boys cross country team to the stage for their induction into this year's Hall of Fame. Those team members included Gabe Moreno, Greg Whittle, Luke Junk, Quincy Guerrero, Will Remus, Daniel Dubit, Josh Link, Mike Darling, Marty McNamara, Josh Thomas, Rodney Camper, Zach Kempf, Richie Blumgren, Carl Oler, Cole Almaguer, and Travis Randolph. The 2008 Boys Cross Country Third Place State Team.
Just wanted to say a couple things about this cross-country team in particular. Probably the thing, and we were talking about this as we came in here today, this afternoon, that all of these young men worked very hard. They were a very tight-knit group. They always kind of stepped up for one another when we had struggles and those things. I've always said in order to be good, you got to be a little ornery. These guys were a little ornery, and that's good. It made it all fun because I think each person, why we were successful is everybody knew they had a role on the team and was willing to fulfill that role whenever called upon. It was just, all I can remember is just that day, actually the day when they won the trophy. It was not a banner day at Detweiler Park. It was very cold. It snowed a little bit in November, kind of like it is this year. But just they ran with all heart. And that's the reason for a lot of their success is they ran with each other and they ran with a lot of heart. So congratulations, guys.
You're welcome. You're in the Hall of Fame. Holy.
That concludes our induction ceremony this year for this year's Galesburg High School Athletic Hall of Fame class. The GHS Athletic Department will send certificates to the members of the teams inducted today. We would like to invite all of you to a reception in the front foyer that's sponsored by the Booster Club, and each of the inductees will be our guests at tonight's tournament basketball games, which continues in John Thiel Gymnasium. The inductees will be presented and recognized at halftime of the final game between the Galesburg girls and Peoria Christian. That is a 6:30 scheduled start, so we hope that the halftime ceremonies will be around 7 o'clock tonight for the recognition. But in the meantime, please step out to the front foyer and say hello and congratulations to everyone. And again, thank you all for being part of this today, and have a great rest of your holiday weekend.